Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. Somebody say, pour it out. Turn to heaven and say, pour it out, God. Say, Jesus, I'm ready. I hope you are. In Jesus' name, you may be seated in the house of the Lord today. Last session, we talked that God pours out at the level that we pour out. And Joel chapter 3 is really about three pouring outs that leads to the fourth. But there's three that it talks about. Number one, it is the judgment of God being poured out. That's where it's going to get heavy today. It's talking about the judgment of God. Number two, it is a pouring out of the people. It is the repentance. Repentance is a pouring out, is an emptying of ourself. Emptying of our sinful nature and our sinful life to embrace Jesus and his cross. So repentance is a pouring out. And after we pour out, the Bible says after those things that God pours out his spirit. So there is a restoration. Restoration is not back to. Restoration is better than. So God has not taken me back to something. He's making me better than I used to be in alignment with who he's called us to be. And then that leads us when we see that there is a pouring out of judgment and a pouring out in repentance and a pouring out of restoration. It leads us to the pouring out of the Spirit through us, meaning that now we are pouring out into our community, into those that are around us. Psalm 23, the Bible says that God prepares a table in the presence of my enemies and that he anoints our head with oil and our cup runs over. Last session, we talked that our cup can run over for many things, but a lot of times it runs over because our cup is too small or that we are already full of something. And when you, I'm not going to tell you what you're full of, or I'm not going to tell you what I'm full of, but we're all full of things that we need to empty ourselves of so that God can fill us up with all he is. Because if you're full of pride, if you're full of greed, if you're full of arrogance, if you're full of religion, if you're full of all of the things of this world, God could put one drop on you and you would run over. But I don't want to run over because of the things of the world. I want to run over because I'm so full of God, his grace, his mercy, his peace, his power, that every time that I move, that there's more of God coming out of my life and into those that are connected to me. Don't tell me what you want from God. That will be obvious by how much room you make for him. Just going over last week's notes really quickly. How much you receive from God is determined by how much room that you make for the Holy Spirit, because you cannot fill, church, what is already full. Every time that we come in this building, I don't want to get too far into my notes in the next couple weeks, but every time that you worship, you're pouring out. Every time that you pray, you're pouring out. We just gave in the offering, and Pastor Mandy was preaching up here for the offering, praise God. It's almost time for a Sunday morning for her. But every time you give, you're pouring out. You say, what am I pouring out? You're pouring out what God has done. You're pouring out what you have, but in the midst of pouring out, remember we talk about when you give, you are now in position to what? Receive. And so when you worship, you pour out. And you are not emptying yourself to the point that you're walking out of here empty. You're saying, God, I'm going to give you everything I have today. And God says, guess what? I'm going to fill you up with something brand new today. What you just let go of made room for what God has for you. The Pentecostal and Spirit-filled churches like ours, we love to quote Joel chapter 2. And we love to talk about the restoration that happens in verse 25 and beyond. However, before we get to the restoration in Joel 2, there is 17 verses about God's judgment and God's call to repentance. Repentance always precedes restoration. There's a lot of us that are expecting God to do something incredible in 2025. And we come up with all of these great slogans and we talk about more in 2024 and all of these things that we... And listen, it's not terrible to come up with nice little kind of mantras that we can rally around, but I want to encourage you that before we can ask God for more, we've got to deal with what we have. And we've got to make sure that what we have is from God. Not only do we need to make sure that what we have is from God, listen to this, church, we need to make sure that what God gave us 10 years ago we're still supposed to have. There's a lot of things that God does in your life that is seasonal. It is scaffolding in your life. It was not meant to be there forever. There was a lot of scaffolding around this building in 2004 and 2005 when they were putting the finishing touches. Scaffolding going all the way up around for sheetrock purposes, and scaffolding on the sidewalks for the brick and all of those things. But this beautiful building would not be as beautiful if the scaffolding was up. So I want to encourage somebody that is holding on to what God did in 2018. It was good for 2018, but God says, I need you to let go of that in 2025. I need you to pour out that so I can pour out something new in you. Somebody say amen. So before we can get to the fruit of verse 22 in Joel 2, we must go through the fire of verse 3. Somebody say fire comes before fruit. Before we can get to the fruit of verse 22, we must deal with the fear that is in verse 6. You've got to get rid of your fear before you can be fruitful. You can't be fearful and fruitful. I'm talking to somebody today. You cannot. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say he was dead. He said, I will not fear because God is with me. He said, fear is all around me, but fear is not a part of my life. I need to tell somebody today that you're begging God for fruit. God, this is going to be my year of restoration. This is going to be my year of outpouring. God, I can't wait to see all the new stuff you do in my life. And God's saying, you need to deal with the fear before you can get the fruit. Before we can get the fruit of verse 22, we must answer the call to fast in verse 12. How many people are fasting on our 21 days of prayer and fasting? I hope that you're praying. I hope that you are not just on a spiritual diet, praise God. I hope that you're replacing your food prep time and your restaurant time and your fast food in line time with time that you are seeking the face of God and seeking the voice of God. But because before we can receive the fruit that God has promised us, and he has promised us fruitful and favor-filled lives, there is a process called fasting that the people of Israel had to do in verse 12 before they got to verse 22. And before we can rejoice like it tells us and describes in verse 23 of Joel 2, we must answer the call to fast in verse 13. Fasting always precedes the fruit and the rejoicing seasons of your life. Let's go to verse 1. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, buckle up. Joel 2, verse 1. Sound the trumpet in Jerusalem. Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear because the day of the Lord is upon us. Somebody say the day of the Lord. This is not get ready for blessing. This is get ready for judgment. This is get ready to see the side of God that everyone likes to act as if it does not exist. This is the side of God that we don't see in 2025 because, praise God, we have an advocate and a mediator named Jesus that stands between the Father and us, because even though I'm holy, I still have enough hood in me that the holy does not help me unless come on now, somebody. And your hood might be different than mine. And your affliction might be different than mine. But at the end of the day, as much Jesus and Holy Ghost as I have, I am still flesh. And I'm glad that when I wake up, that God doesn't have to see Brandon for who he is, but he sees Brandon through Jesus Christ. I'm talking to somebody today that you've been fearful to approach God. Do not be fearful to approach God if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, because Jesus goes not only with you, he goes before you, and God will never see you without looking through the filter of Jesus Christ. I am imperfect, but Jesus looks through perfection to see me. And so instead of damning me, he blesses me. He doesn't bless me because of my righteousness. He blesses me because his righteousness through Jesus Christ has been picked up and embraced and carried by imperfect people like us. I and you are still a work in progress, but thanks be to God, the God of the universe, the God of the Old Testament that used to swallow up people in the earth and earthquakes and sent fire and rained down brimstone. That God still sits on the throne today, but Jesus Christ stands between him and us. He is an awesome God. And we have a faithful Jesus. This is going better than I thought it would. Praise God. So this is a call to judgment. 1 Timothy 5:24. Here's some sound theological teaching, doctrinal teaching for new believers. Here Paul tells Timothy, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment. And some men, they follow after. God is still a judging God. I don't know where our generation came up with the phrase, only God can judge me. And we use it as an excuse. And most of the time when I hear people say that, there are people who by their lack of fruit, I know they don't know that God. Because if someone calling you or me out on our foolishness causes us to bristle and bow up to the place where we say something as trivial but as powerful as only God can judge me, as in a way, I don't care what you're saying. I don't want accountability. You're not my mama. You're not my daddy. I don't want covering. I'm going to do this. Only God can judge me. That should scare most people. Because the judgment of God is real. And what Paul is telling a young Timothy is everybody's sins show up to God. But I love this. He said, some men's sins go before them. How many of you like going to a restaurant? That's my redneck restaurant. Restaurant. How many of you like going out to eat? And you ask for the bill and they say, somebody's already taken care of your bill. Well, who was it? Oh, they didn't want, they wanted to remain anonymous. Listen, if I pay for your bill, I want you to know I pay for your bill. Tell them Brandon Fender, F-E-N. But I love that because I've already eaten the steak. I've already consumed. And you're telling me that what I thought I was going to have to pay, come on somebody, I don't have to pay it any longer. That is why repentance to me is not something that is bitter, but repentance to me is something that is incredible, because here I am consuming all of the things of this flesh before I met Jesus. Here I am doing my own thing and doing the way I want to do it. And when I get to heaven, because I've said yes to heaven, guess what? Everything that I've done has already gone to heaven, and God has already judged it, and God didn't judge it based on me. He judged it when he looked over at the Son Jesus, and Jesus said, he's my son. I took care of him. I already paid for that. But for those that say only God can judge me, he will. Some sins go before them. Some sins come after them. When you get to heaven as a righteous believer, they're going to say, come on in. You're going to stand before God and he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You're going to be shown to your mansion. You're going to walk on streets of gold for eternity, and we will worship the King, and we will all sound like this wonderful praise team, and we will all be able to play the guitar, and it's going to be an amazing thing. But for those, only God can judge me, he will judge you. And instead of him saying, everything's been taken care of, well done, thou good and faithful servant, he is going to say, hit play on those sins. And everything you've done, you're going to have to answer for. Well, God, Brandon did far worse than me. I don't know that. What? That was put under the blood. Well, you're going to judge me and you're not going to judge. Oh, I judged him already. But I judged him before he showed up. That is why when we say every knee will bow, come on church, and every tongue will confess, you better do it on this side of judgment. Because when you get to heaven, you want to be able to high five Peter, high five Paul, dap up Mary and the rest of the disciples, and head into eternity with Jesus. You don't want to have to stand there by yourself and give an account to why you said that, why you did that, why you slept in and didn't go to church, why you never planted yourself in a church, why you planted yourself in a church but you never produced fruit. Why didn't you serve? Why didn't you give? Why didn't you testify? Why didn't you lay hands on the sick and they recover? The Bible says that these signs will follow the believer. You said you were believing, but we look behind you and nothing ever followed you. And so then they find out that the only God can judge me, that was reality. That should terrify those that do not answer the alarm that is being given here in Joel chapter 2. And guess what? It is being given on January 12, 2025. You better get your life right and you better answer the call. You better quit hitting snooze. Some of you have been hitting snooze on God for the past decade, and I'm here to tell you, wake up, wake up. The money doesn't matter. The success doesn't matter. Everything that you desire in your flesh does not matter. Wake up. The alarm is sounding. Sound the trumpet. Raise the alarm, for the day of the Lord is upon us. Let's go to Joel chapter 2, verse 2. It is a day of darkness. See why this is hard to preach? This is the same God that exists today. It's not get ready for blessing, it's getting ready for destruction. It's coming. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. Suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has ever been seen before or will ever be seen again. This is giving us now a prophetic look into the restoration part. Remember when he says, I will restore to you the years that the cankerworm and the palmerworm and the locust have eaten? This is what he's prophesying. The restoration happens after all of the destruction. He says, get ready, there's a great army. Verse 1 calls this the day of the Lord. My God, that's going to bless somebody. Verse 2 tells us that that day is dark, gloomy, cloudy, and black. But when I hear the day of the Lord, and hopefully when you hear that phrase as the righteous, you don't think doom and gloom. When you hear the day of the Lord, you have a different perspective. Why? Because you were awakened to the alarm that was called in your life. I don't know if it was 10 days ago, 10 years ago, or 5 decades ago, but when you said yes to Jesus, what you're saying is God, all that destruction that's been happening in my life, I don't want that life anymore. When we are righteous, right with God, we desire the day of the Lord. You ever invite somebody to church and they say, oh, I can never go to church. If I walk into that church, the ceiling's going to fall in on me. I know people who have not come to funerals of loved ones because they were scared of the church. They're scared of a church building. Listen, if God wants to strike you down, he can do it down at Meet Theaters. He can do it at the Spurs game. He can do it in your bed. He can do it in your living room. He don't have to do it here. And see, just the fact that you think God lives in a building shows how immature you are with the things of God. The fact that you won't cuss here, but you'll cuss there. The fact that you haven't been tempted to light up at your seat right now. But they've been telling me, some of y'all have been lighting up in the bathroom. Stop it. Bring that weed and put it on the altar today. Don't go smoke it in the bathrooms. You don't look at porn here, but you'll look at it at your house or in your car. You think God lives a living way. This is not his address. The earth, the fullness of the earth is God's. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. So we, as the righteousness of God, when we are right with God, we desire the day of the Lord. David said this in Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I hope for your sake that when you found out it was Sunday morning today, when the alarm went off, you didn't say, oh, it's Sunday. I don't want to. Oh, I have to go to church and I have to. I hope you said, oh, I get to go worship. I get to get around other believers. I get to be around people of faith and a community of hope. I get to be around some Jesus people. Because how many of you know out there in the world every day, it gets tough when you're not surrounded by Jesus people. I can't wait till they worship. I can't wait till that clock hits zero and the worship team starts. I can't wait to hit the altar. I can't wait to give. I can't wait to serve. I can't wait to see my BFF. I can't wait to hear the whatever. I hope that when you figured out it was Sunday, because you are the righteous, because your sins have gone on before you, you can say, God, I'm excited that it is the day of the Lord. Remember what John said in Revelation chapter 1 verse 10. He said, it was the Lord's day and I got in the Spirit. Goes on to say in the rest of that chapter, talks about God being the Alpha and the Omega. The day of the Lord was not something to be scared of. It was not something to fear as the righteousness of God. If you said yes to Jesus and you are a follower and disciple of Jesus Christ, you are the righteousness of God. And when God starts talking about destruction and God starts talking about the doom and gloom that is headed to this world, I want to encourage you, you are not in that party. If you've said yes to Jesus and you're following him every day, all of that has gone before you. Doesn't mean that you won't live in it with it around you, but it won't get in you and you will be in the palm of the Lord. We want to see his strength. When the day of the Lord shows up, we want to see his strength because we know that we abide in him and we are in the palm of his hand. However, when we are not righteous, when we are not right with God, we dread the day of the Lord. Listen to this, church, because when God shows himself strong, his strength may work against us. This is why there's just been a battle of heaviness as I get ready to preach this. Because we're a church of faith, and I will always preach faith. And I do want to tell you that God is for you. But if you're not for him, it doesn't matter how much he is for you, because he's doing his best to work with you and you are working against him. You say, work against us. How does God work against us? God gave me this as I was struggling with ways to illustrate this for young and new believers. In every situation of life, you are either Moses or Pharaoh. You are either working with God or you're working against God. Check this out though, church. Whether you are Moses or Pharaoh, the story still ended the same for the people of God. They were delivered from slavery. They were kept and provided for in the wilderness season, and they were able to march into the promised land. I've got good news and bad news for some folks in the room and watching online. If you are Moses, you are working with God and for God, and God is going to use you to do great things. You are going to be a deliverer for your people and those people that God has called under your leadership and influence. However, if you are a Pharaoh, God is still going to use you, but it's going to use you in spite of you. And Pharaoh's end was not as great as Moses' end. Moses was taken by the hand of God and buried by the very hand of God. Moses' body was scooped up by God's hand. No one knew where Moses' body was. God performed his funeral by himself. Go back and read Joshua chapter 1. You'll see the funeral of Moses. It was just God and Moses. I don't know exactly how Pharaoh's life ended, but I do know this. It ended with defeat. I don't want you working against God. I want you working for him. You say, well, I come to church. Just because you come to church doesn't mean you're working with God. The devil showed up long before you did this morning, and he'll stay later than you did today. Showing up to church doesn't make you a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ any more than sitting in your garage the rest of the day makes you a Porsche. Or wearing a star on the side of your helmet makes you a football player. You'll catch that on the way home. There's a lot of us that we dread the day of the Lord because we are not working with God. And the judgment that has gone before a lot of us is following after us. Have you ever been around a negative person that's always waiting for the next shoe to drop? Well, it's going good, but it can only go good for so long. You know my life. Yeah, I want to get away from you. Because I'm already a little negative myself that I got to fight and beat that out and beat that down all the time. That's why fasting is good for me, praise God, because it gives me a faithful outlook. But I'm here to tell you, I don't want to dread the day of the Lord. I don't want to say, man, is this the day that God rains down locusts and fire and brimstone? Is this the day that God does all those things that he was talking about? I want to be able to say, hey, is this the day that God shows up because I'm ready to meet him? Is this the day that God heals? Is this the day that God delivers? Is this the day that God does everything in his word? I'm running out of time. Let's get to it. In Joel's day, Judah was not living righteously. Who this was written to was not living righteously. They were not right with God. So the day of the Lord would be nothing but darkness, destruction, and chaos for them. In verse 2, Joel prophesies, a great and mighty army appears, nothing like it had been seen before or will ever be seen again. When you read Bible history and commentaries and take a deeper look at this prophecy, some believe that Joel is referring to the armies of locusts. And that does describe it partially. And of course, the locust rings very poetically. Because if you've ever been in a plague of bees, of locusts, they fill the sky. I've been swarmed in my life by bees 3 times. And all you can hear is that buzz. And I've seen those clouds of grasshoppers and locusts here in South Texas that literally on a sunny day, it makes it cloudy as millions of them fly by. And so was he speaking figuratively? Was he speaking poetically? Was he speaking literally? He was speaking in a way that Israel could identify with because they had all already gone through times of plague. But check this out. When Joel refers to the army of locusts, more likely he is writing of a literal human army ready to come against the unrighteous Judah. Like an army of locusts, if they came, they would be massive, destructive, and unstoppable. Talking about the unrighteous. They have not answered the alarm. So God says, before I pour out my spirit, your attention is going to have to be got. He said, I'm going to pour out my judgment. Remember, this is Old Testament. This is before Christ. He pours out this judgment on the unrighteous Judah. Write this down if you're taking notes. Unrighteous living is unrepentant living. If you're living unrighteous or you're not right with God, it simply is this. You're doing things that are led of your flesh, and you are living an unrepentant life, meaning this, I don't care, or here we go again, only God can judge me. He can, he will. I don't know how, with everything going on in this world, that people refuse to look for spiritual significance in the things that are going on. Pastor Mandy mentioned it. I'm not up here endorsing the podcast. I listen to it a lot. But Joe Rogan's podcast, it is amazing the doors that God is opening for Christian, not influencers, but theologians and an apologist for the Word of God, people that have theological degrees, that God has opened up these doors. You realize that more people listen to Joe Rogan than watch or listen to all of the mainstream media combined in the U.S. I think it was last year, in 1 week, 2 billion people listen to that podcast. 1 out of every 4 on the planet. And what's amazing to me is that these aren't just Krispy Kreme Christians. These are people who know the word. And Joe doesn't even know that he's being led of the Holy Spirit. For these men and women to get on these podcasts and Logan Paul's podcast and all of these unbelievers podcasts that they've built up these massive followings, and God's saying, all right, I'm going to put them on. You sound the alarm. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them that there's only one way. Tell them that there is an eternity. There is a heaven and there is a hell, and there are angels and there are demons, and there is a devil that hates you and wants to drag you to hell. All of these men and women have spent billions of dollars building these platforms, and God said, all right, the platform at Living Way is great, but how about we use the platforms that nobody had to build, that no believer had to give to? I'm going to use those platforms, and we're going to preach Jesus. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing for the alarm to be sound. The unrighteous living is unrepentant living. I want to encourage you to get righteous today. Not to get righteous at church, but this could be a launching place. But unrighteous living is unrepentant living, which means it is a choice. It's hard to know what invasion Joel predicted here. Most of Bible history agrees that most likely Joel warned of an invasion that never happened. Stand on your feet. This is going to bless you. There's argument when you go and you read the commentaries and you read some of the Bible history books. There is a lot of disagreement. He's talking about locusts. No, he's talking about an army of people. No, he's talking about, this is a figurative speech. No, this is a prophetic look. He's talking about an army of people. And there's a lot of discourse and argument there. And you know why there's argument? Because what was prophesied never happened. You know why it never happened? Because Judah answered the call to repentance. I can tell you, not because I'm a prophet, but because I've read the word of God, I have a relationship with God, and I use common sense. There are some terrible things ahead of us. Terrible. And I'm not saying that what we're seeing in LA is the judgment of God, but that is a drop in the bucket to what this nation will see before this world ends. The hunger that we see in places like Ethiopia and some of the countries of India and Africa, we're going to see that kind of hunger in the U.S. You say, I just don't see it could happen. Remember, L.A. is burning to the ground as we speak. And it is got billions of gallons of water in the ocean right next to it. Crazy things are going to happen. Say, well, Pastor, I mean, you're not really making me want to live for God and come to the altar. I'm not trying to make you do anything. I'm sounding the alarm. I'm not dreading the life to come. I'm desiring the day of the Lord. Because when the day of the Lord shows up for believers, I know I'm in the hollow of his hand. And I know that should this world end, for me, whether it's an act of terrorism or I die in my sleep at 120 years of age, before the funeral plans can be planned, I will be on streets of gold. I will be sitting around yucking it up with David and Esther and my grandparents and Willie Walker and Leslie Nichols and Gary Blair. So my desire is to see the day of the Lord. However, this is the crux of my desire to see the day of the Lord. I'm ready, but the world is not. So I've cried tears this week as I prepared to preach this. During worship, I knelt at my seat getting ready to preach this because I'm ready, but 6 billion people are not. And let's be honest, the 2 billion people that say they're followers of Christ, they might believe in him, but they're not following him. So God said, you just stay ready and keep sounding the alarm. We want God to pour out. We're going to have to pour out. Next Sunday, we'll jump into it in verse 12. There is a call to repentance. It is the one reason why we don't know if the army was really locusts or if it was people. Because when Joel sounded the alarm, the people of Israel said, we better get ready. Living Way, I don't know if there will be a 2026. I don't know if we're going to live to see 2036. But I do know this, that the day of the Lord is coming. And when the day of the Lord gets here, for most of us, it will be an exciting day. Just think about that moment when God raptures his church. I hope that he does it at 11:15 on a Sunday morning. Because for those of us that desire the day of the Lord, we will hear the trumpet sound and we will be caught up to meet him. What does that mean? This microphone will hit the floor. The shoes will be empty. You guys can argue over who gets the Yeezys. But at that moment, they won't matter. Because the people that have dreaded that day will not be fighting over shoes. You will crumple at your seat if it happens on a Sunday. You will come to an altar on a Sunday and say, God, I'm sorry, I did not know. But you did know. Because we're sounding the alarm. Quit asking God to pour out restoration until you have poured out your life and you have poured out your heart and you have poured out your spirit and say, God, I repent. Make me new. This altar is open. And it's open for repentance. It's open for those that say, I don't want my sins following me. I'm going to go throw them on the altar. My imperfections, my failures, God, take them. I don't want them. I'm carrying these weights. I don't want to carry these weights. I'm talking to somebody. Maybe you've got some secret sin. Nobody in your family knows what you're struggling with. Nobody knows what you keep under the seat of your car, in the glove compartment of your truck. Nobody knows that you've got an addiction that you've been hiding. Nobody knows that you've got a religious exterior but a dirty interior. You honor Jesus with your lips, but your heart is far from him. Church, I am not throwing stones because I have been there. I have done that. I have gone through the motions. But the going through the motions is not what's going to save you, because there's a God that looks straight through the skin and straight through the flesh to a heart that is beating in your chest today. Thank you, Jesus. Because in my flesh, God, I thought the altar would be empty today. It's hard to preach judgment in any day. It's really hard to preach the judgment of God in 2025. But don't dread it. Desire the day of the Lord.